This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وشفتين وهديناه النجدين الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين فلا اقتحم العقبة وما أدراك ما العقبة فك رقبة أو إطعام في يوم ذي مسغبة يتيما ذا مقربة أو مسكينا ذا متربة ثم كان من الذين آمنوا وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة أولئك أصحاب الميمنة والذين كفروا بآياتنا هم أصحاب المشأمة عليهم نار مؤصدة الله
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. With Ramadan coming up soon inshallah tonight, we'll continue with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we'll transition to the Ramadan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spend the month of Ramadan? So that way inshallah we can also emulate and prepare for it inshallah. So please stay back inshallah. We'll continue with the seerah on the Ramadan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on Wednesday for our fiqh class, we've been speaking about sujood sahw and in prayer. We're going to move straight to the chapter on fasting, inshallah, so that we can prepare for it in some of the rulings that are related to fasting from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that will be on Wednesday, inshallah. So please, inshallah, we're going to momentarily continue with our seerah class, but we're going to be speaking about the fasting and Ramadan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you haven't joined the WhatsApp group also, please do so, so that you can also get the link. I forgot also that tomorrow, Fajr will be at 6:15, and Maghrib, of course, was really close with our Adhan, and so tomorrow, Maghrib, Fajr will be at 6:15, and Maghrib, inshallah, will be at 5:35, and Isha tomorrow will be at 7:15. You can download the See the link up there, or the QR code. You can download the app called Adhan Plus, or you can just look up ATHAN Plus on any of the App Store and on the Apple, or even the Android for your Samsung users and Android users. Inshallah, you can have the latest prayer times for the different masajids also. Inshallah. One more thing, forgot. This morning we had breakfast after Quran class. We had actually a potluck, so a lot of people brought. We had probably close to 20 people, but we had, I think, food enough for 60 people. So tomorrow, probably 60 people, yeah. So tomorrow, because everyone brought food, right? Normally we just buy the food, but today we decided to have a potluck, and so many people brought food that we have food left over, so that tomorrow, inshallah, this is the month of Sha'ban, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast very often, almost the whole month. So for those who'd like, inshallah, come here at 5:30 tomorrow. We have suhoor here, inshallah. So we don't waste the food. We have extra food, so we're going to eat it for suhoor, inshallah, make use of the
food that we have. So everyone is welcome, inshallah, for suhoor, inshallah, tomorrow at 5:30. Remember, Fajr is at 6:15, so come early, inshallah. Suhoor, pray Fajr, and then you'll be fasting the whole day, inshallah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة الحمد لله we've entered the month of Sha'ban by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a month that is in itself blessed, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast very often. So this is the month, of course, in preparation for the great month of Ramadan. But in and of itself, deeds go up during this month. And this is the month in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted outside of Ramadan more than any other month. And the reasoning being, that as the scholars mentioned, is because you want to prepare for the coming month. And the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. شهر رمضان, the month of Ramadan, is the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. Guidance for mankind and clarification of guidance for, and also a criterion to distinguish between that which is right and wrong and good and bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the month of Ramadan also a month that one can be saved from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلَ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانٍ, if it, when, إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانٍ, on the first night of Ramadan, سُفِّدَتَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَمَرَدَتُ الْجِنِ, سُفِّدَتَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَمَرَدَتُ الْجِنِ. So the first night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shackles the shayateen and the marada al-jinn. That means those are the worst of the jinn, the worst of the shayateen amongst the jinn. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ, and the doors of the hellfire are closed. فَلَمْ يُفْتَحْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ, not a single door is open amongst the doors of the hellfire. وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمْ يُغْلَقْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ, and the doors of paradise are closed, and not a single door of it is so the doors of paradise are opened, and not a single door of it is closed. وَيُنَادِي مُنَادٍ, and so on the first night of Ramadan, what happens? A caller calls out, and the caller continues to call from the first night in continuation of it. وَيُنَادِي مُنَادٍ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ يَا بَاغِيَ الْخَيْرِ أَقْبِلْ, oh, those who are looking to do good, come forward. وَيَا بَاغِيَ الشَّرِ أَقْصِرْ, and those who are seeking to do bad, stay back. وَلِلَّهِ عُتَقَى, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has عُتَقَى مِنَ النَّارِ, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emancipated from the hellfire. وَذَٰلِكَ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ, and that's every single night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees those, chooses His servants to make them free from the hellfire. And so it's the month that a person free is free from the hellfire also. And so the month of Ramadan is a month that is, of course, one of the pillars of Islam. بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامِ عَلَى خَمْسٍ, and one of them is صوم شهر رمضان. You know, the fasting during the month of Ramadan, of course, is one of the five pillars of our deen. And so how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spend the month of Ramadan? We're speaking about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're transitioning to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during Ramadan. So how many times, how many years did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast the month of Ramadan? Anyone know? How many years did he fast? How many Ramadans in Islam did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spend in his lifetime? How many Ramadans did he have? Of course, many Ramadans, but Ramadan that he spent fasting, the fasting that's made obligatory. Anyone know?
Six?
Who said? Nine years. Very good, mashallah. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, and during the second year, the month of Shawwal, the month in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the companions, and then they were going after the caravan of Abu Sufyan, right? And later on, of course, during that month, during the month that came afterwards is the month of the battle of what battle occurred? The battle that occurred in the month of Ramadan, the battle of Badr. So the month of Shawwal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the verses on the obligation of fasting. So the battle of Badr happened during the month of, or during the battle of Badr happened during the month of Ramadan. And this was in the second year. So the second year, and how many years did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spend? How many years? He spent 10 years in Medina. So the first year they didn't fast the month of Ramadan. They didn't fast the fasting of Ramadan because it wasn't obligatory yet. And then the second year, which is the Prophet ﷺ fasted because it was before, the obligation was before Shawwal, during Shawwal. And so the Messenger of Allah ﷺ also passed away in the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, in the which year? The 11th year of Hijrah. So the 11th year, which makes that, how many months is that, before Ramadan or after Ramadan? It was before the month of Ramadan, in the 11th year. Yes, Rabi' al-Awwal is before Ramadan, right? And so that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted 9 years. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted 9 years. And in those 9 years, of course, we have all the rulings in connection to Ramadan and the fasting of Ramadan and the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Ramadan. And we have the verses that were revealed in the month of Ramadan. So we'll mention some of them, inshallah. And some of the events that occurred during the month of Ramadan in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, he spent his days and his nights in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increasing in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did he do during the month of Ramadan? Let's start from the beginning. The beginning of the day. When we say the beginning of the day, we're talking about, inshallah, we're speaking about his iftar and his suhoor. Right? His iftar and his suhoor. When you speak about beginning of the day, what? What's the beginning of the day? It depends on what you're saying. If you mention the day in Islam starts after Maghrib, right? Or if you mention the day, which is like, you know, some people, when you speak about day, the first thing, what do you do the first thing before in Ramadan? Most people think about suhoor, right? Taraweeh is like the last thing. And some people might think that's not the last thing, because the first thing is iftar, which is the sunset. When sun sets, it's the next day, Islamically, right? Whatever it is that you consider, inshallah, we'll be speaking about, let's speak about the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ did in Ramadan, the first thing of the day, which is the breaking of the fasting, and also they're connected, also the suhoor, inshallah. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ used to break his fast. He used to break his fast by eating fresh dates. You have rutab. Rutab is that which is fresh, the fresh dates. Because dates, when you pick them up from the tree, you have balah, which is still raw. It's not fully ripe yet, unripe dates. But when they're ripe, you have rutab. That is that which is, you know, now we have them here, you know, in some stores, they sell them. A lot of people, you know, get them from California, they put it in the freezer. But if you leave it outside, it will spoil unless you dry it. And then in that case, it becomes tumur. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to break his fast with rutab. And he used to eat witran. He used to eat them an odd number of pieces. So an odd number. So he ate three or five, or one, three, or five, whatever the odd number, whatever he had, that he could eat. And if he wasn't able to get that, then he would eat the dried dates, which is tumur. And that those are the, you know, the ones that turn black already, and they're dried. So he would, if he didn't have that, then he would eat the tumur, which he would eat the tamr, which is the dried dates. And if he did not have any dates, then he would start with water. He would sip water. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجل الفطر. لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجل الفطر. People are still going to be good. I mean, the state of the ummah, the state of the people, will still be in a positive state as long as they عجل الفطر. They make their iftar immediately. That means when it's time, they don't delay. Well, and then the Prophet ﷺ says, عجلوا الفطر عجلوا الفطر فإن اليهود يؤخرون عجلوا الفطر فإن اليهود يؤخرون. Make sure when it's time to break your fast that you break it right away, because there are some people who wait. No, you don't wait. You break your fast right away. And the Yahud, they are the ones who delay their fitr. And so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ بِخَيْرٍ مَا عَجَّلُوا الْفِطْرِ. And of course, the fitr means the breaking of the fast. And the sahur itself, of course, you delay it until almost fajr. Delay until the end. And so that's why there are some people who, you know, when you ask certain people, they'll say, oh, this is the time for fajr, and this is the time for imsak. Like, there's no two times. When people start making that up, saying that there's a time for imsak before fajr, then that means that they're ignorant. That means there's widespread ignorance. And also the Shia, they also delay their fitr, their breaking of the fast, until what time, do you know? Until the stars come out. Until the stars come out. Yeah, they wait until the stars, they can see the stars already. So that means they delay. And that's out of ignorance. That's not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as I mentioned, the iftar and the sahur itself, remember we say sahur and suhur. Anybody know the difference between sahur with the fatha and suhur with the dhamma? Anybody? Just like wadu and wudu. Anybody know the difference? Tahurun wa tuhur. What's the difference?
Sahur is the food. That means the food that we eat.
Yeah.
Suhur is the action.
Very good. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your knowledge. Suhur with the dhamma is the action. Sahur is the food that you eat. So we have sahur on the table. But we eat suhur. That means our action of eating suhur. We have wadu. So what is wadu? If I say, give me the wadu. The wadu is the water to make wudu with. And tahur is the water that you purify with. And tuhur and wudu are the actions. So you say, I make wudu. With the wudu. Give me the wudu. Right? The wudu is water to make wudu with. So sahur and suhur. Sahur is the food. Wa amma suhur. As for the eating of suhur, فَكَانَ يُؤَخِّرُ كَانَ يُؤَخِّرُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to delay the suhur. And the time that he would delay, as Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and others also, with Aisha radiallahu anhu mentioned, he would delay until the end, almost the time that it was when they would finish. It would be very small, a short amount of time until a person would pray fajr already. And the suhoor itself is something that is considered a sunnah, an act that is a sunnah, and there's a lot of blessing in it. There's a reward for it. And not only is there a reward, there's barakah in it. Barakah is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts goodness in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses it. When you say something is blessed, that means your time is blessed. If your time is blessed, then your time is very, very beneficial to you. It helps you. A little bit of it gives you a lot. You can do a lot with. So money, when it's blessed, it gives you a little bit of it, is enough for you. Your children, if you have blessed children, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in your children. That means your children will make you happy. Your children, when you see them, they make you happy. But those whose family is not blessed, maybe their children, may cause them problems. You know, they give them headaches. Sometimes they get into trouble. And you can't fall asleep because you don't even know where they are. Right? With blessed children, they speak to you in a kind way. They help you whenever they can. Whenever they're able to help you, they help you. And they're very respectful to you. And so when you say there's barakah in the suhoor, that means the food itself is suhoor. And it also is a means of barakah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Tasahharu, tasahharu, fa inna fi suhuri barakah." Tasahharu, have suhoor, because in the eating of the suhoor, there's barakah. Fa inna fi suhoor, and in the food, the suhoor, there's barakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses that time and blesses the food when we eat suhoor. When you eat suhoor, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses it. A little bit is enough. And it makes you, also gives you energy for the whole day also. As Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, he described when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the suhoor. He said, "Tasahharna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." We had suhoor with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ate suhoor with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma qumna ila salah. And then we stood up after the suhoor. Thumma qumna ila salah. Then we went to pray. And one of the, of course, he said, Qultu. And he said, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he was asked by one of his students, he said, Kam kana qadra baynahuma? He said, do you know how long was it before that? How long was the interval between the time that you had suhoor and the time that you stood up, that time that the prayer started? And so he said, Qal, khamsina ayah. Khamsin ayah. The amount of time that you would recite 50 verses. Khamsin ayah. And when you look at this, this phrase that that Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu mentioned here, he said when he was asked what was the time between suhoor and prayer, khamsin ayah. This is very there's wisdom here also. The Arab. They used to calculate time with actions. They used to calculate times with actions. And so you know what's the most common thing that they used to use? The most common thing is, you know, the time, like for example, we say a minute, 1 minute. Like how long is a minute? We know how long a minute is. Everyone uses a minute, 60 seconds, and we know we're used to 60 seconds. But they didn't have clocks in 60 seconds and 50 minutes and 20 minutes. Did you know how they used to? What's the most common thing? If someone says, how long was it? What would they use during the Arab? Anybody know camel traveling? Yeah. No, just like for example, how long did you sit down? How long, if it's a short amount of time, you went shop, let's say you went to the market. Like how long did you spend? What would they say?
Before the Islam
came? Even Islam after Islam too, they would use that also.
Before the Islam, they used the camel. How long it takes to milk it?
Very good, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your knowledge. Halbashat, that's what they would use, the number one thing that they would, that's their minute. When they say, for example, the time that it would, the first interval, a minute for them, would be the time in which a person would spend milking the sheep, right? So you milk, so that's the time that they use, or nahr al-jazur, or the time in which a person takes to slaughter a camel. What do you mean by slaughtering a camel? Like right away, right, isn't it? No. Yeah, so how long does it take to finish the whole camel so that you have the meat ready to eat everything? Like you finish the whole camel, then you can just leave whatever it is. You know that. So that would be, usually that would be their hour. And the halb shat would be like their minutes, because that's faster, right? So that's how they would calculate. But here, in this hadith, we see that Zayd ibn Thabit, instead of using that which was common, he says, قَالْ خَمْسِينَ آيَةً. Why? Because the companions at that time used to recite the Quran. In Ramadan, they recite it all the time. And when they're waiting, they're always reciting. So they're always reciting. So because everyone's reciting the Quran, when you say khamsin ayah, everybody knows, oh, khamsin ayah, that the person recites on a normal pace. And how the Messenger of Allah taught them how to recite, because of course, they recited, they tried to recite the same way that the Prophet recited it. Right? Just like how some of us, we recite differently, right? We have different voices, right? We have different tones and so forth. But when you learn from a teacher, anyone who learns from a teacher, that's why some of the brothers, you know, when I hear the Somali Qurra, when they recite, you have the Somali style, right? Like it's a very smooth style, and then you have the Egyptian style, like أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and it's a little bit longer, right? So the Egyptian 50 verses maybe is not like the Somali 50 verses, right? And so it's very, you know, when the usage of khamsin ayah indicates that the companions were always reciting the Quran, so that the usage of it became more clear, because everybody knew how long it took to recite khamsin ayah based on their recitation, based on the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of course they would be imitating and copying every aspect of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you not think that they would try to imitate the recitation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also? So that it was, he said, khamsin ayah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we say, we know that when it comes to making sahur, making iftar or eating iftar as soon as the time comes in, right? That's something that is mutawatir. We have so many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from so many companions that the sahur should be delayed. The sahur should be delayed. And so some people, like I know, like in some countries, people don't delay the sahur. In fact, you know what they do? They eat sahur and then they go to sleep. And Allah knows best if they wake up for Fajr or not, because they eat because they're afraid, right? Because so that's why if you want to sleep, you know, try to sleep. I mean, if you are going to sleep in Ramadan, the companions used to sleep at the beginning of the night. Then they would wake up and pray their night prayers, meaning pray the Tarawih prayer. And that's what Umar ibn Khattab did. You know, when he came in later on, he said it's better if the people would have, you know, slept and then woken up at this time to come pray in the masjid. And then the masjid, of course, they would pray until Fajr time from Isha, and then it would switch off. Like if somebody wanted to go sleep early, they would come back at any time. People would still be praying in the masjid. People would still be praying in the masjid. So what's something else that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? One thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in Ramadan also was he was very, very generous. He gave in sadaqah, and he used to do as much good. He would always be in a state of giving sadaqah, doing good, helping other people. This was what the Prophet ﷺ used to do all the time. But in Ramadan, he was even more so. He was even more so. Like, how can you even be more generous than what he was on a normal activity? It shows that. The companions realizing it and seeing this action of the Prophet ﷺ being even more generous, and he was already the most generous of anyone, that generosity of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how generous the Prophet ﷺ was in his days, especially during Ramadan. And that's why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwad al-nas." Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwad al-nas. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous. Al-jud is generosity. Ajwad al-nas. He was the most generous of all people. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدْ مَا يَكُونْ فِي رَمَضَانِ. He was already the most generous. And he was most generous during Ramadan. حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلِ. This is specific, and he's mentioning this. He says, when Jibreel used to meet him. When he used to always meet Jibreel, of course. But during Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to meet Jibreel for what? وَكَانَ جِبْرِيلُ يَلْقَاهُ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانِ فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. And so Jibreel would come down every single night during the month of Ramadan, فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. And so that he would recite, they would recite to each other, to him the Qur'an, and he would recite to him the Qur'an. So, and then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, فَلَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَجْوَدْ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. أَجْوَدْ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a result, was more generous than a breeze that's blowing. You know when it's really hot, especially, this is something that if you're in the hot country, you realize the benefit of it. You're sitting down and it's like hot, and then the afternoon comes, and then that cool breeze comes, and everybody says, Alhamdulillah, it feels so good. And then you start doing this, right? When that breeze comes, does it hit just one person? Does everyone feel good, or just one person? Everybody, everyone feels it. So the generosity of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could be felt by everybody. Not just that, but it could be felt by everyone. It was like when the breeze comes, everyone says, Alhamdulillah, it feels so good. It was so hot today. And then this breeze comes, the summer breeze that comes, especially for us, you know, when you're hot, and the breeze comes in the afternoon, Alhamdulillah. So when the Messenger of Allah comes, everybody feels it. Feels the generosity of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether he's helping them, whether it's that smile, you feel good right away because of the kindness, the generosity of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so what makes a person, so Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu connected this with what? With the Qur'an. And that's why he mentions, فَلَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ. When he would meet Jibreel in reciting the Qur'an, why? Because a believer who recites the Qur'an affects that person's actions. The Qur'an affects that person's heart. That Qur'an changes that person. So when you recite the Qur'an and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to be generous and give, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is implementing the injunctions in the Qur'an, the orders in the Qur'an, the verses of the Qur'an. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked about his character, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. He was, his character was the Qur'an. And so when a believer recites the Qur'an, the believer is more generous because the believer is implementing the orders in the Qur'an and realizing the benefits of it and reading about Jannah and Nar, and he's trying to protect himself from the hellfire and earn the pleasure of Allah. So a believer changes his actions. The more he recites the Qur'an, the better that person is, because it cleanses the person's heart. So if you have a problem, if you feel your iman is going low, then read the Qur'an and implement its injunctions, and there's barakah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you, because in it is guidance for all of us. And so the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the daytime, in Ramadan, wherever he went, he was always generous and helpful and giving. And that's why in Ramadan, we should be the same way. We should be helpful and giving and always being there for the people, always smiling towards those, you know, who may be feeling sad, picking them up, that you come close to them, they can feel it. And not them, everyone can feel it. Everyone knows that it's Ramadan. So your neighbors will know it's Ramadan. Even Muslim and non-Muslim neighbors will know it's Ramadan. Yo, Ramadan. It's Ramadan. Oh, mashallah. We get some busa from our Muslim neighbors all the time. Like, every Ramadan. So they know also. Even the non-Muslims should feel it also. Should feel the spirit of Ramadan. And so that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was like a breeze that's blowing that everyone benefits from. And how was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prayer? Like, how was his salat? Al-Qiyam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. من قام رمضان, whoever قام رمضان. What does it mean by قام رمضان? To stand up in prayer, or to stay up in worship. To stand up in prayer, or to stay up in worship. That's قام رمضان. That means, because a woman might say, well, what if I'm in my menses and I can't pray? Can I still apply the hadith من قام رمضان or من قام ليلة القدر? Yes, you can. Because you can still be in an act of remembrance of Allah, and you can still be in the act of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you can't pray, even if you can't fast. You can still be in the state of worship by doing that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many things that you can do that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend his nights in prayer. And how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend his nights in prayer? We'll speak about it even more, but I'll just end it with this inshaAllah. Aisha radiallahu anha describes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prayer. Abu Salamah ibn Abd al-Rahman, he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, كيف كانت صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رمضان؟ كيف كانت صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رمضان؟ How was his prayer in Ramadan? فقالت, and so she said, ما كان يزيد في رمضان ولا في غيره على إحدى عشرة ركعة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to not increase or pray more in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan, more than 11 rak'ah. So that means he prayed 8 rak'ah and then 3 witr, or he prayed, you know, the, if you consider like all of that pretty much the night, they used to call that Qiyam al-Layl. They used to call that Qiyam Ramadan, Qiyam al-Layl. That means it's staying up at nighttime. That Tarawih prayer is not something that was known by that name during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, how did he used to pray? And some people might say, you know, if he didn't pray more than 8, then we should not pray more than 8. But Aisha, she says, do not, وَلَا تَسْأَلُوا أَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ. Don't even ask how nice, how wonderful, how complete they were, and how long they were. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed only 8 rak'ah, and then with, you know, the 3 rak'ah of witr, mean 11 rak'ah in total, It was not because he only wanted us to pray 11. No, it was only possible for him to do so because he could not pray any longer than that. He didn't have time to pray any more than that. He did not have time to pray any more than that because he used to pray very long. He used to pray very long. That 11 was the maximum that he could put in on a regular basis, right? So we have another narration that mentions 13. So maybe he prayed a little short, sometimes shorter rak'ats.
and meaning the rak'ats were shorter, but not and more in number. And that's why when it comes to the night prayer in Ramadan, Taraweeh prayer, there's no specific number for it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verbally he said, Salatul Layli, Mathna, Mathna. Prayer, night prayer is two rak'ah. And if you feel, if you're afraid that Fajr is coming, then pray your witr prayer. Pray that odd witr prayer. Then, and so what does that mean? The Messenger of Allah, by default, the order is to pray two rak'ahs, without any limit. Aisha radiallahu anha is not saying that you can't pray more than eight. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said you can't pray more than eight. He didn't say you can't pray more than eight. It was just that's what he did. But if you're going to pray eight, and you say I'm going to follow the sunnah and only pray eight, then you're only following the quantity. You're not following the quality. You're only following the quantity and you're not following the quality. If you were to combine the quantity and the quality, even if you wanted to pray more than eight, you would not be able to pray. It's not possible. If someone recites Surah Al-Baqarah in one rak'ah. And one time he prayed, at night time he recited Surah Al-Baqarah, as in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and then he recited Surah An-Nisa, then he recited Surah Ali Imran. So he recited these, the longest surah, three longest surah, in how many rak'ah? In one rak'ah. For us, it takes us 4 days. 4 days of Taraweeh prayer to get to that. He does it in one rak'ah. Forget about the night. One rak'ah. It takes us 4 days, and we say, Alhamdulillah. We pray eight, Alhamdulillah. But how much do we recite? Right? So if you go home after your Taraweeh prayer, you can still continue to pray. At home, two rak'ahs. There's no limit. There's no set amount. As whatever is easy for you. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Then recite whatever is easy for you of the Qur'an. And there are some people who don't memorize a lot of the Qur'an. They stay up, Allahu Akbar, they just recite, you know, قُلْ هُوَ لَا وَحَدْ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ إِنَّا أَطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. These are the short surahs, like, I ran out already. Surah. Right? And so you can repeat those surahs, and you can pray more than, and sometimes you can't stand very long. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night time used to stand up in prayer for, you know, until of course he used to, his feet used to be swollen. And at the beginning of Ramadan, remember we said, how many years did he fast Ramadan? 9 years. For 8 years, the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come together to pray in the masjid. Each one during Ramadan used to pray individually. But they had faith in Iman, where they would spend time praying individually. You know, for us, if we didn't come together for Taraweeh prayer, maybe most of us would be sleeping. Most of us. So to make it easier for us, and then we'll mention next week, inshallah, we'll continue with the Ramadan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam next week. And Wednesday, inshallah, we'll speak about the fiqh of fasting, like the intentions, the obligations, that which breaks your fast and things like that. So here, on Saturdays, we'll be speaking about the Ramadan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fasting of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the events that happened during the month of Ramadan. So we'll continue with this next week on Saturday, inshallah. And on Wednesday, we'll cover the rulings that are connected to Ramadan, so that when Ramadan comes, inshallah, we'll be prepared. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us and benefit us from that which He has taught us. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.